Ezekiel chapter 2. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me. And it had writing on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. In Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel saw the heavens opened and four living creatures with the divine throne chariot, a glorious humaniform manifestation of God's presence upon it. After seeing the vision of the throne chariot, Ezekiel had fallen on his face and heard a voice, and in chapter 2 the account continues as we hear what the voice had to say. Ezekiel is addressed as Son of Man, an expression that, as Walter Eichrott observes, is used on numerous occasions throughout the book of Ezekiel, almost 100 times, yet not that often outside of it within the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 8 verse 17 is one of those few other instances, in a vision very similar to this one. Psalm 8 verse 4 is another. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Eichrott argues that he is addressed this way as a reminder of his weak creatureliness and the Lord's condescension. Marcia Greenberg and Leslie Allen suggest that it also serves to distinguish him from the other divine beings in the scene, the four living creatures and any others that might be there. Allen writes, Ezekiel is a human being and no god, out of his league in the transcendent scene, as his physical reflex has demonstrated. Even as the voice underlines the difference, it hints that this human being may have a role in the divine plan. The vocative, human one, persistently prefaces the divine messages in this passage of commission, and in fact throughout the book of oracles. It serves to characterize Ezekiel as the prophet of divine transcendence, marked by humble awareness of who God is, and by a concern that his fellow exiles should share his awareness. Ezekiel is instructed to stand on his feet, at which the Spirit enters into him and sets him on his feet. In chapter 1, the Spirit animated the wheels. Presumably the same Spirit is animating Ezekiel here. Although he has been overwhelmed by the majesty of the glory of God, he needs to be alert and in possession of his wits as he is being summoned to intelligent action and attention. The Hebrew prophet, unlike many of the pagan prophets, was not defined by being in constant ecstasies and losing his wits, but exhibited rationality and sobriety. Daniel Block sees in the imagery and the language surrounding the commission the implicit context of a royal court. Entering the royal presence, the servant prostrates himself. He is then told to rise and given a charge in language typically found in a court when a ruler would appoint and send a messenger to some third party. As a prophet, Ezekiel is, like Isaiah, a participant in the divine council. He's commissioned and sent to bear its words to his people. He can also speak on behalf of his people in the council. His role is framed by the covenant bond that exists between the Lord and his people, and the terms of the covenant that the people have broken. He is commissioned in the context of devastating and sustained apostasy, apostasy so severe that the people were uprooted from the land and cast into exile. However, the remarkable thing is that even though they are now exiled on the far side of the river Euphrates, having been returned to the land of the Chaldeans from which Abraham their forefather was first called, the Lord has not utterly cast them off. Here, in this foreign land, even while they are still in revolt against him, he is commissioning another prophet to address them, even after they had rejected all of his earlier overtures. The people to whom Ezekiel is sent are identified as the people of Israel, The northern kingdom of Israel was swallowed up by the Assyrians well over a century earlier. The light of the southern kingdom of Judah is currently guttering and will soon be extinguished. Their king Jehoiakim is currently in exile in Babylon, and they have a puppet king on the throne in his place. However, the people continue to exist as a people, even though they are scattered and separated from the land, in a precarious existence, in danger of being assimilated to other peoples in the lands of their exile. The Israelites who had been taken by the Assyrians and the Egyptian exiles of Jeremiah's day had both largely vanished in such a way. The exiles in Babylon face a similar threat. There's a yawning abyss of possible extinction as a distinct people opening up beneath them. Is there still a way back from such a terrible fate? To make matters worse, the people are obdurate and stubbornly resistant to the word of the Lord. The Lord characterizes them as a rebellious house. As Block notes, stubborn both without, literally stiff of face, and within, hard of heart and mind. As the prophet of the Lord, Ezekiel will face strong resistance from his people, yet he needs to be faithful to his mission in the teeth of their opposition. Like other prophets, figures such as Moses, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, the Lord strengthens, emboldens, and steels him for his task. A similar preparation of Jeremiah can be seen in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Ezekiel is charged not to fear the people's opposition. He has the Lord on his side. He is like someone surrounded by thorny and stinging plants. These may refer to the opposition that he will face, or perhaps to the oppression of life in exile. However, Block advances the interpretation that these things are the wall of protection that the Lord is establishing around his servant Ezekiel. If Ezekiel faithfully performs his commission, his ministry will be so evidently a divinely proven one that the people will have no choice but to acknowledge his legitimacy as a prophet. The Lord will not let his words fall to the ground. Ezekiel needs, however, to distinguish himself from the people surrounding him. Like resistant toddlers stubbornly rejecting the food that their parents are feeding them, they refuse to accept the word of the Lord. Ezekiel, however, must receive the word of the Lord, ingesting it and taking it within. The prophet seems to have a far closer relationship with the word of the Lord than we see in relationship to the law or wisdom, in the case of the priest or the king or sage. The prophet ingests and embodies his message and its power. The word of the Lord becomes the prophet's word. Here Ezekiel is handed a scroll, most likely a rolled up papyrus document. It's a complete message, written on both sides, with judgments that will give rise to lamentation, mourning, and woe. We see something similar in Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, where John is also given a book to eat. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, "Go, take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land." So I went to the angel and told him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, "Take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey." And I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and ate it. It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And I was told, "You must again prophesy about many peoples and nations and languages and kings." It is likely that Luke is also subtly working with the background of Ezekiel in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus is handed the scroll in the synagogue in Nazareth, and the gracious words of the text of Isaiah proceed from out of his mouth. A question to consider. Looking at the prophetic commissioning of Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, and Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, what similarities and differences do you notice between them and the account of Ezekiel's call and commission in the opening chapters of his book?